Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
God, I wonder what it would really look like if we as your church truly believed that Christ in us was the hope of the world. What would happen to our relationships? What would happen in our workplaces? What would happen in this city if we truly believed that that were true? God, may it be so in our hearts. God, we never want to be a church that just shows up on Sunday to do church and then goes back to our lives on Monday. God, would you change how we see life? Help us to know, God, that you saved us, not just for us, but to be part of what you're doing around us. God, we do believe that greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. My question is, who's going to do that? May it start with us. May it start with me. God, meet with us this morning. Change our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we finish up our series, Seeing Life Through God's Eyes, and it's my prayer that rather than this being the end of our thinking about this issue, and well, we're done with that series, Seeing Life Through God's Eyes, so we can move on to something else. It's my prayer that this will just be the beginning of us praying, God, help me to see life through your eyes. And help me to move into action, to go where you want to go, to touch the lives that you want to touch. Use me. I want to share one verse with you as we get started today. 2 Corinthians 5:15. This is the word of the Lord. Please hear this. Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Hey, why not make that your memory verse for this week? Write it on a card, keep it on your visor, on your dashboard, on your bathroom mirror, on your bedside table, and just allow the weight of those words to settle in on you this week and see what God might do. I have to tell you, I'm really not sure how this message is going to turn out today. For starters, I'm not a public speaker, so I've got that hill to conquer every time I get up here. But today, in addition to that, I just, the thoughts that I'm going to try to compress into the time that we have this morning have been rumbling around inside of me since I was a boy. And I just had the hardest time putting my thoughts together for this message in any kind of coherent, sequential manner. It's just too big for me to try to condense, I think, into one morning. So if you would, just kind of hang with me today. If we're all over the place, then we're all over the place, okay? I've got 1,000 thoughts buzzing through my head. I remember when I was a 9-year-old boy. This sounds so strange looking back. I was a 9-year-old boy. I was sitting in a church service in South Africa. If we were there, I could take you to the very building. I could probably point you within 2 or 3 rows of where I was sitting. And I had been watching this whole thing, the church thing, with interest. And I remember sitting there as a 9-year-old boy thinking about what I saw taking place in the church, not just that church, just the church. And then reading things in the Bible, and I would hold them up and compare them in my mind, and I remember something happening to me as a 9-year-old boy in that service, thinking for the first time, something is wrong with the church. Something is broken. We're off track. And I kind of just tucked that thought away, and it stayed with me all these years. And really, when we started LifePoint, God began to stir those thoughts in me again. And just recently, in the last couple of months, God has started to really awaken that in me again. So I've tried to take all of that and put it into some kind of sensible message today. And I'm not really sure how it's going to turn out. But I want to share some things with you that may bother some of you. They might sound harsh. It might offend some of us. But how many of you know that true healing and true change can never take place until we're willing to put everything on the table and get everything out into the light and quit playing games? This is something that I am still working through, and I'm going to continue working through. And I hope as a church, God can use some of this as maybe just the seeds of change for us. When you think about your future, your plans for the next month, your plans for the next 2 or 3 years, and even beyond that, your plans for your retirement. What percentage of those plans revolve around you? You go, well, it's my life. Of course it revolves around me. But when you think about the next week, the next month, the next year, things that you are planning and dreaming about, and there's nothing wrong with planning and there's nothing wrong with dreaming, and you think even beyond that of, wow, when I work and I do my career and I wrap it all up, here's how I want to retire. What percentage would you say of those plans revolve around your stuff and your needs and your happiness and your dreams. It's a sobering thought, even embarrassing, for us to honestly stop and realize just how much of our plans focus on our happiness and our well-being. I can tell you're thrilled to be here today. Stay with me, please. Don't stone me yet. The reason it's a sobering thought is because I think of the words of Jesus when he said, "Anyone who does not deny himself and follow me," watch this, "cannot be my disciple." How is it that those of us who call ourselves not just Christians, I told you months ago, I've stopped calling myself a Christian. Because that term doesn't mean what it used to mean. It's become so watered down. What kind of, what are you? Are you Christian militia? Are you, what are you? Well, and people are quick to label themselves a Christian, but I've stopped doing that. I have deliberately started calling myself, for my own awakening, a follower of Christ. There's a huge difference. How is it that those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are so preoccupied with our own agendas? How is that possible? Rather than being sold out completely to the mission of God to redeem the world to himself. It's football season. I love football season. I saw a little bit of the, about 10 minutes of the opening of the Boise State game last week. I don't know if you saw that. It struck me. Thousands and thousands of students in the stands, painted blue. I'm not suggesting we do that. Jumping up and down in unison by the thousands, cheering and chanting for their team. And I thought, why is it that the Church of Jesus Christ can hardly muster enough people to open their mouth and sing a few songs on Sunday morning? It just strikes me as odd. I'm all into football. Believe me, I've got the watch on, okay? And I hope it's a good year for us, but it's probably not going to be. So lay off me. Don't be too rough. But it just strikes me as strange that we're willing to go to such lengths and invest such time and energy standing for 3 hours if necessary, jumping up and down and cheering for something that 100 years from now nobody is going to care about. And yet as the church, we hardly have any enthusiasm and energy and devotion to things that will last forever. Someone once described a football game as 22 people in desperate need of rest being watched by thousands of people in desperate need of exercise. Forget about that describing a football game. That describes the church. People by the tens of thousands every Sunday get in their cars on Sunday morning and they drive to a building to watch someone else do ministry. I better get back on track. Here's the reality. The church today looks so different from the church that I see in this Bible that there is hardly any resemblance at all. And I think one of the reasons is because we have turned faith into a noun instead of a verb. And so faith and belief have become synonymous when really what you see in the Bible is that faith and obedience are synonymous. Is anybody still with me? And so we talk about our beliefs sort of as a noun, when the truth is the Bible really doesn't buy into a person's beliefs unless there is a life of obedience that follows. James himself said, faith without works is useless. It's dead. Maybe it's time to take the Bible seriously. Christ never called his followers to a life of sitting around believing things, church. He called us to a life of obedience and, dare I say it in America, sacrifice. That's what it means to be a follower. A follower of Christ. Not just a believer in. I hope that you will hear what I'm about to tell you and just give it some time to settle in before you jump to conclusions. I know maybe for some of you, you're about to hear this for the first time ever. I've been thinking on this and chewing on this for a long, long time. Here's what I have observed, is that we have come to believe that salvation is for our benefit. We use phrases like, Jesus died for me. Jesus died to save me of my sins and take me to heaven. And while that is true, what I want to say to you is it is horribly short-sighted of what the gospel is really all about and what the Christian life is all about. It makes us believe that the whole point of the Christian life is about our salvation, about our relationship with God, about our spiritual growth, and so that God can help us through our hard times. And sadly, you look across the landscape of this country, and I've been observing this for probably 20 years now here in America. This is not a rash statement. Sadly, as Christians, we have brought that same mentality into the church. And what we say when we come into a church now is, what can this church do for me? Y'all still love me? What can this church provide for my family? And if this church doesn't provide what I need for my family, no problem, because I'll just go somewhere else until I find it. Now listen, there's a balance here. We need to find the right body of believers to join in with and be a part of. There's a mix there. I understand. But I would say to you that we have erred so far on the side of it all being about us that it is almost incomprehensible to me. That we can still call ourselves followers of Christ, when really what we're asking is that Christ would follow us. As you look back through history, you wonder where this shift happened, because you don't see this in the Bible. I've shared this with you before a long time ago, but really I believe the problem started when a man named Constantine institutionalized Christianity and turned it into the Church of Rome. And from that moment forward, you see this very evident shift in people's understanding of what Christianity was and what it meant and their part in it. From that moment on, Christianity came to be seen, listen carefully, as a religion instead of a movement. And it has ruined the church. And I think what is needed is a realignment of our understanding that being a Christian is not just about accepting Christ. That's the first step. It is about following Christ and committing our lives to be a part of His mission in this world. Here's the problem. And this comes out in our language that we use with other people. It's such a subtle thing, but if you really crack it open and look inside, you see the fingerprints of this old problem in the language that we use. We invite people to get saved so that they can miss hell and go to heaven. Now, is that true? Of course it's true. That's one of the great benefits of giving your life to Jesus Christ. But what we say to people is, look, the reason you need to get saved now is because you might die tonight and go to hell. And so from the get-go, people accept Jesus for their benefit. Are you with me? And so we live our whole Christian life from that point forward thinking that it's about us. I thank God that one of the benefits of salvation is missing hell and gaining heaven, which I don't deserve. But that's not the point of salvation. That's not the purpose of our new life in Christ. That's just a perk. What we should be saying to people is the reason you need to come to Christ now is because the world needs to hear about Jesus through you. You hear the difference? We've made the gospel so egocentric by saying, believe in Jesus because you need Him and He will make your life better. When really it's not about that at all. It's interesting today, well, for years I've heard, but in our time today, tell me if you've ever heard this phrase, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, that's true. Both of those things are true. What I would say to you is that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Because if people come to Jesus because He loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life, they're missing the whole point of why Jesus, of why God is calling people to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's to redeem the world. Come to Jesus, He can make your life better. Come to Jesus, He wants to pour out favor on your life. Really? So it's all about me then? Well, sure, I'll sign up for that. And as you read the Scriptures, you see Jesus saying, give up everything you have and come follow me. Total different picture. It's interesting, Jesus never made it easy for people to follow him. Never. Because while we're interested in the crowds, Jesus was interested in the committed. For us today in the church in America, it's all about crowds. Whoever gets the biggest crowd wins. And they get their church name put in a magazine as one of the fastest moving churches in America. Well, I wonder what percentage of people in any size church are truly living their Christian life out, not for their own purposes, but for the mission of Jesus Christ. Seeing our life through God's eyes instead of our own changes our entire understanding of Christianity. We come to realize that receiving Jesus is only a fraction of what the Christian life is all about. We so quickly forget, and I number myself in this group, that life is not about us. It's not about my plans. It's not about my goals. It is about his plans. It is about his goals. It is about his mission becoming our mission. It's about what breaks his heart breaks our heart. Nowhere in Scripture does God call us to be spectators. If you can find it, let me know, because that'll give me a loophole to rest for a while. Jesus said things like, go and make disciples. You will be my witnesses. Go to the ends of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so men can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And in fact, the truth is, the language of Jesus in the Gospels is so shockingly clear that I think we try to avoid it sometimes. Whew, I hope the pastor doesn't preach on that today. We have a golden retriever named Rusty who's just a great dog. Little mentally ill, but other than that, he's okay. Seriously, he's odd, but he's a great dog. He has this thing that he does that is so human-like. Whenever he's done something he shouldn't do, and I call it to his attention, if he's chewed something up, I'll bring it to him and I'll hold it to him. He's here and I'm here, and I go, Rusty, look at this. I promise you, I'm here, he'll do this. It's amazing. He looks the other way, and when I walk around there, he looks over here. Why? He's trying to avoid an encounter with the truth. And how often we do the same thing. The words of Jesus in the Bible are unmistakably clear. And yet so often we just go, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't know how to process that. Jesus said things like, if anyone comes to me and is not willing to leave mother and father, brother and sister, houses and land, etc., etc., he cannot be my disciple. You go, well, Jesus just spoke that to those people 2,000 years ago. They were just Neanderthals. They didn't have any clue about anything. They weren't as advanced and intelligent as we are. Well, they didn't have all the commitments in life that I have. Really? I say again, Jesus has not called us just to believe on him. He's called us to live our lives for him, and dare I say it, to give our lives for him. I need to wrap this up. Maybe you say, well, Phil, you know, that's all fine for somebody who God calls to be a missionary somewhere. You know, we're so good at playing those games, aren't we? Well, I mean, yeah, that guy and his wife, God called them to be a missionary in a foreign country, so that stuff Jesus said, that applies to them. But how could God possibly want me to live this out in my life when I'm just a stay-at-home mom? Listen, don't ever underestimate God's ability to do amazing things through a stay-at-home mom. You say, how could God do this through my life? I'm just an accountant. I'm just a realtor. I'm just a waiter. Don't ever sell God short. Don't ever underestimate the chain reaction that God can start through one person who is totally sold out to Him and fully committed to laying down his life for Jesus Christ. What might happen? What might happen if every person at Life Point Church began to say, God, forgive me for thinking that salvation was all about me. God, would you begin to change my heart and break my heart for what breaks yours? God, would you begin to open my eyes to help me to see how to be your agent in the very spot where you've planted me in this world? It's exciting to see these things begin to happen. One of our families, one of the husbands was sharing with me a few weeks ago. He said, Phil, you know, these things we've been talking about here, we were having a very similar conversation to this a few weeks ago. And he goes, Phil, God's been doing some stuff like that in our family. And he said, there was a piece of property that I was looking at buying. Anything wrong with buying property, church? No? But he said, I decided not to invest in that piece of property because I don't want to be any more tied down than we are, because what if 5 years from now, he said, God called our family to sell everything we have and go follow him somewhere. Are you hearing that? That's crazy thinking. And it's what Jesus calls us to live free from the entanglements of this world as much as possible, to at a moment's notice say, God, whatever you want me to do, it's for you, my whole life. I had a conversation with another one of our men just a couple days ago God is starting to really mess him up on some of this stuff. He goes, Phil, you know what? I started thinking, well, how can God use me where I am? He said, well, you know, the place I work, every day when I leave work, I go out the back, I go straight to my car, and I drive home. And he said, what I've started doing recently, the last few weeks, is when I leave work, instead of just going straight to my car, I go out the front. And I begin to walk up and down the streets of our city praying that God would allow me to encounter somebody who needs a touch from Him. And he said, I've met homeless people and I've taken them to dinner and we've sat over dinner and talked to the point now where when he walks down the street, some of these guys are calling his name, hey! And they want to see him and they want to talk to him more and they want to hear more about what he has to say. Those are the kind of things that God can begin to bring about in a church family that I'm telling you will change, will revolutionize a church. Imagine what would happen if we as Christ followers started saying, instead of me seeing my savings account and my stocks as a way for me to become richer, I know I'm stepping on your toes right now. God, what if I saw that savings account and those stocks and whatever we have as all belonging to you, and you can take it and use it for your kingdom however you choose? What might happen? What might happen if high school and college students at Life Point began to pray, God, revolutionize my outlook on life and use me to begin to impact the students around me? What might happen if someone who's getting ready for retirement said, God, I don't want to spend my retirement in a recliner watching The Price is Right. God, I want to give those retirement years to you to be used for whatever purposes you have for me. What might happen? It's crazy thinking in America. It goes against everything we've been taught. What might happen if we, as followers of Christ, said, God, help me to see that my salvation and my life is for the sake of others? Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Let's pray. Father, I'm not sure if any of that came out this morning in a way that makes sense to anybody, but I just pray you would take that scrambled up effort of mine and just somehow straighten it up and make it right and understandable. And God, would you plant it deep within some hearts today? God, what is it going to benefit us? What is it going to benefit your kingdom if people keep just showing up to church services across America every Sunday morning for the rest of their lives, and that's all they do for your kingdom? God, help us. Help us to see, God, that when we come to you by faith and we're saved, that there's a purpose you have for us. Whoever we are, you have a purpose for us in your mission on this earth. God, would you start a fire in some people today? Please, God, please. Start a fire in some people today who would be willing to say, I'm not even sure what the next step is, but God, I want to bring my life to you today and lay it down before you and give it to you completely. And whatever you want to do with my life, God, do it. I'm yours. God, would you birth that in some people today? Father, we want our lives to be used for your kingdom. We do. What a privilege it is to be a part of what you're doing on this earth. Use us, Father, for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.